Junior church can be dismissed. That's where I'm going? No. Because I know what they're doing in there today, and I want to go in there, Molly. I want to go to junior church today. Yeah. Hi, Nikki. Luke chapter 1. Been working on my Christmas messages. I've got 4 weeks, well, actually 5 weeks with this week, completed. And I guarantee you do not want to miss any of my Christmas messages this year. I've done something a little bit different, and you don't want to miss them. If you can't be in church, you want to listen to them on the website, because I've went into all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and I have written a Christmas message out of each of them, and that's going to depict Jesus in a different way. I'll give you a little insight. Matthew shows Jesus as what? King. Mark shows Jesus as what? A servant. Luke shows him as the Son of Man. And John shows him as the Son of God. And so that's just going to whet your appetite a little bit to see what I'm going to be preaching on the next 4 weeks. And you want to be either here or listen to it on the website to find out exactly what it means. Luke chapter 1, starting in verse number 26, it says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into the city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over all the house of Jacob forever, and of the kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also the holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and has, and this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible." Let's read that last verse again. "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for this morning. Thank you for your love. I just pray now that we might get something out of this message today that we can use in our own lives. We thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for coming into this world and being born, and that we can have you as our Savior. We just pray now that you'll guide and direct us. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You know, I believe that God will reveal himself in different ways in our life. This morning's message is God revealing himself. God revealing himself. You know, if you read the Bible, you'll see that God revealed himself through different means to different people. Jacob, he spoke to him through dreams. Noah, he spoke to him as a man to man. Moses, he spoke to Moses by what? A burning bush. And then he also spoke to him as man to man. And he also spoke to him out of the cloud. David, he spoke to him through the prophets. I want to look for just a few minutes today at how God revealed himself to Mary and Joseph in the birth of the Lord Jesus. The first thing was this. He revealed his presence. He revealed his presence. Look at verses 26 to 33. It says, in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from who? From God unto the city of Galilee called Nazareth, the virgin espoused to the man named Joseph, in the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored of the Lord, is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. You know, as we take and we look at that, we see that never before in history the man had ever been revealed this way by God. Now, Gabriel is only spoken of how many times? We had this in Sunday school today. How many times is Gabriel talked about in the Bible? Three times. Who was the first one? Who was the first one that Gabriel talked to? Daniel. Who was the second one? Nope. Zacharias. And the third one was Mary. But here we see that in Daniel chapter 8:16, he spoke to Daniel. In 9:21, he spoke to Daniel. In Luke 1:19, he spoke to Zacharias. Now, Gabriel was one of the, they believe, three archangels. The one was Lucifer, one was Michael, and the other one was Gabriel. And those are the ones who were in the presence of God. We know that Lucifer was cast out of heaven because of his prideful heart. And so here we see that Gabriel was one of the three who were in the presence of an almighty God. Now, God revealed his presence through one of his most trusted angels. Now, Mary did not know what to think of all this. You know, she did not know how all this was going to take place or how it was going to happen. She did not understand why the presence of God was upon her, why that she had been highly favored with God. God's presence is around us every day. Did you know that? Do you know that God's presence is with us all the time, and yet we take it for granted? You know, we don't understand why many times things happen to us the way they do. We have no idea why all of a sudden when we need a bill paid and boom, in that mail shows up a check. Or we'd have no idea if something happens bad in our life, why all of a sudden, boom, something happens and there it is. Well, God's presence is among all of us all the time. You know, God's presence is everywhere around us, yet so many times we will not accept the fact that he's really there. You know, in our day and age that we live in today, there's so many people that do not believe that God is real. They don't believe it. They want to have an atheistic view of life, that there cannot be a higher being other than themselves. You know, there's an awful lot of people that set themselves up as a God, don't they? We need to realize that we have a God who is all-powerful and is all around us all the time. He's omnipresent. You know, many times we feel alone. Many times we feel hopeless, helpless, and we have nowhere to turn, and yet God's presence is always there. We need to understand that. The second thing is this. He was revealed by his power. He was revealed by his power. Verse 35, it says, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age, and this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing is impossible. The power of an almighty God, almighty creator, was revealed. God himself, through the Holy Spirit, was going to overshadow Mary so that she would conceive a child. Now think about this for just a minute. Gabriel, as a sign to Mary, gave her what kind of a sign? He said, I want you to understand something. Your cousin Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant. Mary's going, wow, she's old. Man, how could she have a baby? She's 6 months pregnant at her age? You know, can you imagine what it was like for Sarah at 90 years old to have a baby? Whoa! I mean, he's almost as old as Chuck. But listen, what we need to realize is that, I mean, this was going to be a miraculous thing. Here Mary's going, wow, my cousin Elizabeth, being as old as she is, she's 6 months pregnant. You know, why was it Gabriel wouldn't have had to tell her that? Why was it Gabriel told her that Elizabeth was 6 months pregnant? She was with child for 6 months already. Why was that so very important? Did they have telephones back then? Oh, you know what? They text each other. Right? She had no idea, none, that her cousin was 6 months pregnant. None. And the angel Gabriel, he says, I want you to understand something. You may not believe what I'm telling you. However, your cousin is 6 months pregnant in someone who could not have a child. Whoa. You know, that would get somebody's attention, wouldn't it? I know it would mine. You know, here we see that it was going to be a miraculous conception. There was not only going to be a human involvement, but there was going to be a supernatural involvement with God himself. God himself was going to touch the very womb of Mary, causing meiosis to take place, and the splitting of billions of cells were going to cause a child. You know, think about that for a minute. Now, I took biology. I was good at biology. I love biology. But do you know that a cell just does not divide on its own? It has to have another cell in order to get it started. Now, what we need to realize, oh yeah, there's asexual and there's bisexual fertilization and things like that, but what we need to realize is that something has to happen for a cell to divide. You know, I believe that God overshadowed Mary and he touched her womb and he said, okay, I'm going to take that one egg and I'm going to cause it to be the very Son of God. Wow. I mean, to me, I think that is fantastic. That is unbelievable. How that Mary, being a virgin, could take and possibly become a mother. God himself was going to touch the very womb of Mary. The mighty power of God was going to be revealed. The God of all creation who formed man and woman. Then Gabriel goes on to say what? Nothing is impossible with God. You know, as I was doing this message, I got to thinking about facing the giants. I got to think about facing the giants. How many of you have seen the movie Facing the Giants? You remember the part where all of a sudden she walks into the doctor's office and they tell her that she's not pregnant again? And she looked up and she says, "I'll still love you, Lord." And then the nurse comes running out and says, we had the test results mixed up. You are actually pregnant." I mean, it's unbelievable. Then after the game, he comes home and she looks right at him and she says, "What's impossible with God? What's impossible with God? Nothing is impossible with God." They were told they could never have children, and yet they still had them. A good friend of ours, Anna Dreyer, they had moved into the area that we lived in Wisconsin. And Anna was having trouble. They couldn't have children. And so they adopted a little boy, and she was having a lot of mental problems and things like that. And our family doctor, he wanted to know if my wife could counsel with her. And she did. And Anna, she came around so good. And Kevin and Anna and Carol and I, we did a lot of things together. And all of a sudden, they had adopted this little boy, and she got really sick, really sick. And they couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. And they took her to the hospital, and they did a test, and she was pregnant. The doctors had told her there was no way, none, zero, she would ever have a child. She had three more children after that. Listen. Nothing is impossible with God. Nothing. We need to understand that. We need to understand that nothing is impossible with God. You know, with the mighty God, the mighty power that He has, nothing is impossible. We feel that God has not the power to do little trivial things that we ask Him for, and yet He formed heaven and earth. He created the sun, moon, and stars. He fashioned the animals after their own kind. He formed man in His own image. He caused nations to rise and fall. He has raised the dead. He caused the blind to see and the dumb to talk and the lame to walk. He has had the very sun stand still in reverse. Remember the story of Hezekiah? Hezekiah says, "Well, what's the sign unto me?" And he says, "You want the sun to go ahead 10 degrees or to go back 10 degrees?" Hezekiah says, "It's the easy thing for the sun to go ahead 10 degrees. It does it every day. But it's a hard thing for it to go backwards." And God did it. God caused the sun to go back 10 degrees and then return again. Yet, we feel God does not have enough power to see us through, to help us get through the trivial things that we have going on in our lives, the sicknesses that we have, the financial problems we have. "Oh, somebody doesn't like me. Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do." You know what I mean? Teenagers. The loss of a loved one. You know, many times, I feel so selfish myself going to God with the trivial things that I need in life. But you know what? He wants us to come to Him. He wants us to ask Him. Show Him what we need. The third thing is this. God's preeminence was revealed. God's preeminence was revealed. Luke chapter 2 and verse 13, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men." You know, just think about that for just a minute, the night that Jesus was born, in that little stable in Bethlehem. All of a sudden, the heavens opened up, and there was a heavenly host of angels saying, "Glory to God in the highest, peace, goodwill on earth." Listen. What we need to realize is that God is all around us. God is everywhere. He's preeminent. He's with us all the time. You know, God's glory is revealed to the humble shepherds abiding in their fields at night. What a sight it had of me. You know, I'll tell you what, if I would have been one of them shepherds, I probably would have been shaken in my boots. Amen? You know, think about that. All of a sudden, you're there watching your little sheepies. You're looking at the sky and the beautiful stars. All of a sudden, the heavens open up. And the glory of God showed all around about. And the angels are singing glory to God in the highest. Whoa! I go, man, that's something. Have you ever seen anything like that? Do you know the only thing that I can even imagine that came close to that was the Northern Lights? When we were in Wisconsin and I was a young boy, we'd go out ice skating every night. Go up and down the river ice skating, fall in once in a while. Anyway, but we were ice skating one night and I'm laying on the bank. It was about 10, 11 o'clock at night, and I'm looking up the sky. All of a sudden, the Northern Lights just lit up the sky. It was the most beautiful sight I had ever seen in my entire life. And how they danced around the sky and the different colors, and it was just magnificent. I thought to myself, wow, this has to be like what the angel saw that night when the heavens opened up. You know, if we could only realize the greatness of an almighty God, if we could only imagine the glory of a God who made all creation, if only our minds and our hearts would realize that there is a true God who reigns on high and His glory is beyond our every imagination, I believe that then we might be able to worship Him like we should. If only we could understand the magnitude of God, I believe that we would worship differently than we do today. Think of the angels worshiping that night. Wow. I don't believe that they just kind of stood there going, whoa, look at this. Is this ever cool? Look at the heavens open up. I don't believe they did that. I believe they fell down on their faces because of the glory of the Almighty God. You know, have you ever wondered who watched their sheep when they went to Bethlehem? Have you ever thought about that? I have a message on that. I do. On who watched the sheep while they left. I wonder if they got docked their wages. No, I don't know. But you know, God is a God of love, yet He's also a God of justice. He's also a God who's going to judge the quick and the dead. In that day, His preeminence will be revealed to us in the form of a judge. I know for a fact that all of us are going to stand before Him one day and have to give an account of what we did, whether it was good or bad in our lives. You know, there are those who will receive rewards for the things they did, and there's going to be those who are going to suffer pain and loss for the things that they did not do. For receiving Him as Lord and Savior, or for rejecting Him. You know, there will be those who will stand before Him and He'll say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into my kingdom. And then there will be those who are going to stand there ashamed. And He's going to say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I knew you not. Wow. The words, well done, are going to be precious words. The word, depart from me, are going to be the saddest words a person could ever hear. God is a loving God. He wants none to perish. 2 Peter 3:9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all
should come to repentance. God does not want any one of us to go to hell. He wants all of us to be saved and go to heaven. You know, we can receive or we can reject His offer of eternal life. God has given each of us a free will, hasn't He? We can either receive Him or we can say, no, I don't want to have Him in my life because I might have to change something. Tough. You're going to have eternal life. The last thing is this. God revealed Himself in protection. God revealed Himself in protection. Mark chapter 2 and verse 13 it says, "And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise and take the young child and his mother and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. When he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and they departed into Egypt." After the wise men had come into the presence of baby Jesus and gave him their treasures of gold, frankincense, and myrrh, they went another way back to the country they came from. Now, what did Herod tell them? Herod said, go find the child, come back to me, and tell me where he is so that I may go and worship him also, right? What did Herod want to do? He wanted to kill him. So they left and they went back a different way. Go back to Herod. They went a different way back to their home country. Here we see that there was a great slaughter in the land. All of the children under the age of 3 years old were killed. The king wanted to make sure that Jesus never sat upon the throne. God stretched out His protective hand upon Joseph and Mary and kept them safe and out of harm's way. You know, God does the same thing for us. He will put His protective hedge around us if we'll let Him. But how many times do we say, oh no, Lord, I'll do it myself. I can mess things up myself. Amen? How many of you have ever been there, done that? I have. I mean, you know, let's face it, you know, there's not one of us in this room who hasn't said, well, God, I can do it myself. Just leave me alone. And then guess what? We fall flat on our face. You know, Joseph could have said, no, I'm not going to leave my family here. I'm going to take and we're going to stay here. After all, I have a baby and I have a wife that just had a baby. And that's a long journey to make. And I've got a job here. What have I got in Egypt? Nothing. But what had just happened? Some wise guys showed up with a bunch of treasures that they didn't even know who these people were. Right? The wise men came in, gave them gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Joseph is going, you know what, maybe I better listen to God. Maybe He knows more about what's going to happen than what I do. Amen? You know, how many times do we get the cart before the horse, so to speak? Joseph didn't do that. You know, if he would have done what most human beings would have done and stayed there, Jesus probably would have been killed. But Joseph trusted God to protect them through all life's trials, and they went and did just exactly what He said. You know, we need to trust and obey, for there's no other way. To be happy in Jesus is to trust and obey. You know, if we would only trust God to take care of our little things in our life, we'd be a whole lot better off. I would think of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart, and lead not unto thy own understanding, and all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will what? Direct your paths. What we need to do is we need to trust God to take and protect us and to take care of us. You know, we see here how God revealed himself in the birth of the Lord, how he revealed himself in his very presence, his power through the Holy Spirit, his preeminence, and through his protection. You know, if we are truly saved and a child of God, we can see him revealed on a daily basis in our life if we will only look for him. If we'll only look at what he's doing for us every single day, we'll see that he's revealed himself to us all the time. Each one of us need to realize that God loves us so much that he gave the only thing that he had, his only begotten Son. We need to understand that God loved you and I so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We need to remember the reason for the season. Jesus came, was born. He grew up. He died. He was buried. He rose again the third day, according to the Scripture, to give you and I the gift of salvation. The Bible says what? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord might be saved, shall be saved. Well, we need to realize that we're all sinners, aren't we? There's not one of us in here that's not done something wrong. I mean, do you know that I did something wrong this morning already? Did you realize that? And I had to say, Lord, please forgive me of that. You know, we're all sinners. We do stuff wrong all the time. But you know, there's a penalty for our sin. And that's death. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, the eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You know, God loved us so much that he gave Jesus for us. All we got to do is believe that he died on the cross, that he was buried and he rose again the third day according to Scripture for our sin. And all we have to do is accept him. Lord, I know I'm a sinner. I know there's a penalty for my sin. I believe that you died for me and paid my penalty. I receive you to be Lord and Savior of my life. You're born again. Wow. How much easier can it get than that? Amen? People, so many times, they feel that it's so hard for God to take and reveal himself to us. And yet, you know what? We can have God reveal himself every day as long as we get into this book. And we read this book every day. I guarantee that God will reveal himself to you in ways that you never knew before if you'll only read his word. God revealed himself to Mary and Joseph, revealed himself to many others. We need to have God reveal himself to us. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for today. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I thank you now for revealing yourself not only to Mary and Joseph, but to all of us. Father, there's no greater joy than to know that if we were to be absent from this body, we'd be present with you. Father, we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you for all that you've done for us. I just pray that you'll guide and direct us now. With every head bowed and every eye closed for just a minute. Maybe there's somebody here this morning and you're saying, you know, preacher, I'm not 100% sure that if I were to die right now, where I'd spend eternity. I cannot ever remember a time in my life where I asked Jesus in. If that's you, I'd like to pray for you this morning. Is anyone like that? Quickly, quietly, just raise your hand, put it down. anyone at all. Maybe you're here today and you're saying, you know, preacher, I've never really prayed to have God reveal himself to me. You know, there's never been an angel come into my life like Mary or Zacharias or Daniel. And I've never really spent the time in God's Word like I should. Would you pray for me that through this upcoming Christmas season, I can spend more time in God's Word so that He will reveal Himself to me in a way that I've never seen before? If that's you, I want to pray for you this morning. Just quickly, quietly put your hands up. Yes, hands over the auditorium. God bless you. Yes, God bless you. Father, you know our hearts. You know our deepest desires. I just pray, Lord, for this one that raised their hand that they're not 100% sure that they're saved. I just pray that we might be able to take care of that today. Father, we just pray also for all these that have raised their hand. They were honest this morning. They want you to be revealed in their lives. They want to see what you have for them to do with the rest of their lives. I just pray, Lord, that you take and help them to spend more time in your Word, that you will take and you'll be able to reveal yourself to them. Guide and direct now, I pray, in this invitation. And we give you the praise and thanks. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's all stand.